All righty, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. We're going to look at the passages this morning and verses 9 through 14 with the Pharisee and the publican, amen. The parable of the Pharisee and the publican, amen. Let's begin reading in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. And they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And this publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you for having your word, Father, the King James Bible. I pray you bless your word this morning. Father, I just pray you take me out of the way and hide me behind the cross of Calvary, Father. Father, I pray, give me your words to speak, because my words are vain. They're nothing. They're worthless, Father. Let us hear from you this morning, Father. Bless the message now. Bless each and every one that's here this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The title of this morning's message is How to Spot a Counterfeit Christian. You know, many folks today call themselves or consider themselves Christians. Amen. In fact, if you were to go up to most people today and you would say, are you a Christian? They'd probably answer, yes. And in our society today, what is considered a Christian, it would be probably everything except someone that was Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist or someone one of the Eastern religions. Amen. But this morning, in our passage here this morning, Jesus gives us some signs for you and I to help us spot a counterfeit Christian. Amen. Number one, we want to see in verse number 9, they trust in themselves. They trust in themselves. A counterfeit Christian trusts in themselves. Amen. Look at in verse 9. It says, as we begin in verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Okay, in other words, there was a group of people back then. There was, in other words, they were trusting in something of themselves or in themselves to make them right with God. Amen. For example, in the religious crowd that Jesus was talking about in his day, in Jesus' day, was trusting in the fact that they were the physical seed of Abraham to make them right with God. In other words, because they were a Jew, automatically they were right with God, in other words, because they were descendants of Abraham. Today, people are trusting in themselves, in their good works. Amen. You know, oftentimes when I'll witness to someone, or as a church, we'll go out door to door, and we'll knock on a door and try to witness to someone that you'll get, I'm all set, I'm a Roman Catholic, amen. I go to St. Teresa's, or one of the big churches here in town, amen. But see, they're trusting in themselves. Just as this Pharisee, as we see, that went down to the temple to pray, was trusting in himself to be right with God. A counterfeit Christian trusts in themselves to be righteous. There's something about them that they can do that makes them right with God. We see that the religious crowd in Jesus' day put Jesus to death because he exposed their misplaced trust. They should have been trusting in Jesus and him alone to save them, but instead they were trusting in themselves. Has anything changed today? I don't think so. Same today. For example, why do people get angry? Amen. When you go and you witness to them and you tell them, all right, that you need to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. For to have their sins forgiven. The reason is because you're exposing their misplaced trust. See, they're trusting in anything else but Jesus Christ to save them. Amen. They are trusting in something other than Christ to save them. So we see then a counterfeit Christian will trust in themselves to be right with God. There's something that they can do. Something inherent in them or that is able to save themselves, amen. And we see it all the way through the scriptures, amen. So not only do they trust in themselves, number two, they despise others. Number two, they despise others. And he spake this parable, look in verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain who despised others. See, counterfeit Christians despise others who are not part of their false religious system. Amen. True Bible believers are despised by the cults. Amen. They're despised by the Roman Catholics. Amen. They're despised by the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're despised by the Mormons because the Bible believers preach and witness to the truth. Amen. The Bible says a true witness delivereth souls. Amen. That's what you and I are, a true witness. When we go and we witness to someone and we tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how to be saved, we're being a true witness. And if they believe on Christ, their soul will be delivered. Amen. You see, they despise others. The ones that despise the ones that have the truth are not really secure in what they believe anyways. I ask them, why are you getting so uptight? Why are you getting so angry with me? If your foundation, if your faith is so secure, why are you getting angry? Why are you getting upset? I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to present you the truth. Amen. But you see, these people always get defensive, do they not? They get angry. They get angry because I really believe there's somewhere in the back of their mind they question what they believe. Amen. Because only truly a Bible believer can know that they're going to heaven. Amen. Based on the Word of God. Only the Bible believer can have true joy. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength, it says in Nehemiah. See, people that are not Bible believers, have not trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, cannot have that eternal security that we can have. Cannot have that joy unspeakable and full of glory that you and I can have. Amen. Look at some examples in the Bible. King Herod despised the Christ child and wanted him to destroy. And all the children, he had all the children under 2 years of age killed. Just he wanted to make sure that he get rid of the Christ child. He despised Christ. He despised everything that he stood for, the coming king, this king. The wise men came looking for a king. Herod said, I'm the only king around here, amen. We see the religious rulers of Jesus' day despised Jesus and had him crucified. We know that he was delivered, it says in the Gospels, for envy. Jesus Christ was delivered for envy, amen. We see all through the Old Testament prophets, amen. All the Old Testament prophets from Samuel and upwards were despised by their own people, the Jews. Amen. They kept telling them, get right with God, get right with God, right, get right with God. Judgment is coming. But they were killed. Many were killed. Many were stoned to death. We see the Apostle Paul. We see the Apostle Paul and the other apostles in the book of Acts, despised by the rulers of the Jews. They put them in prison. Amen. We know that Paul wrote many of the New Testament books. Many of his epistles, many of his letters are referred to as prison epistles because he wrote them in jail. Because he was put in jail, amen, for preaching the truth. Because he was despised by the false religious crowd of his day. Amen. We see most of the apostles were beaten and eventually put to death for preaching the truth because they were despised by others. They were despised by the counterfeit Christians. Amen. We see the Roman Catholics through the centuries despised anyone who stood for the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, and therefore they were put to death. Some were burnt at the stake, amen, because they wouldn't recant their faith, amen. They wouldn't recant their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. They refused to put their faith in the Roman Catholic Church and the false religion system that it was. And it's toned down today, amen. They're not going to burn you and I at the stake, amen, but they hate it. They hate it when we try to witness. They don't like it, amen. So number three, as we move along here, how to spot a counterfeit Christian. We've seen so far they trust in themselves, they despise others. Number three, they demonstrate their own righteousness. They demonstrate their own righteousness. Look at in verses 10 through 11 with me, if you would. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray. And then look at what it says about the Pharisee. He's the counterfeit Christian. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. You know, a counterfeit Christian will be quick to tell you what they are doing for God. They will be quick to tell you how good they are. You know, well, I don't do this and well, I don't do that. But when you tell them, the Bible tells them in Romans chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Amen. Jesus addressed a religious crowd in his day, and he told them straight out. He was very, the Bible says we're to speak the truth in love, and I agree with that. But I want you to see, I'm not going to go through Matthew 23, but if you have time, go through Matthew chapter 23 and look at how Jesus deals with the religious rulers. I'm not talking about the individual person, okay? I'm talking about how he just gives it to it and he doesn't quit, and how he gives it strong to the religious leaders of his day. But look at what Jesus says to them in Matthew chapter 23 as we're talking about counterfeit Christian demonstrate their own righteousness. Looking in Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. Here's Jesus. He's got all these muckety-muck religious people, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and what have you. And he looks at them eyeball to eyeball, and he says in Matthew chapter 23, in verse 27, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisee, hypocrites!" Amen. "For ye are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." That's it in a nutshell, amen. These counterfeit Christians. You know, counterfeit Christians will often make an open display of themselves, like this Pharisee did in Luke 18. You know, he made sure that everyone could see him, amen. There in Luke 18, you know, how we get up there and we see there the two men went up to pray, and it says in verse 11, the Pharisee stood, you know, he stood in all his grandeur, looking up to God for all to see him, amen. You know, to make sure that all noted what a good man that I am, what a wonderful man that I am. I'm earning my way into heaven, amen. But notice what Jesus says about this open display. Jesus says just the opposite in Matthew chapter 6. Turn there with me. The counterfeit Christian will go around so everybody can see him, but the true Christian won't. Look at what Jesus says about these things and how we're to, you know, as Christians, the Bible tells us we're saved under good works. Amen. Okay, works don't save us, but after we get saved, we should do good works to glorify God in heaven. And look at some of the things, how we're to do them. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 1. Jesus says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men." Of course, alms is giving to the poor, and so forth and so on. He says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them." Okay? Don't do it. Don't do it so everybody can see you. He says, "Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." You've already gotten your reward. Everybody's given you an accolade. Oh, what a big giver you are. Look at all the money he's given, or she's given, to the poor, to the church. Amen. He says, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets." Amen. And that's what they do. They make a big show of it, is what he's saying. They want everybody to know. He says, "that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." Do it in secret. You know, do it only God can see it. That's what he's saying, amen. Whatever you do. You know, the Bible tells us that a gift can distort the justice, can bribe the judge, amen. Way to give when we give in secret, so God will reward us openly, amen. But we see the counterfeit Christian will go around, do everything in the open for everybody to see him or her. Looking in verse 5 of Matthew 6, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues." Here's this guy, the Pharisee in Luke 18, exactly what he's doing. "And in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Okay, so now he's talking, he talked about giving, now he's talking about praying, how to pray. He said, don't be like the hypocrites, don't be like the counterfeit Christians that go and do it in the open, amen. Because they've already had the rewards here on earth, amen. He says in verse 6, but thou when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Again. True Christians will do things, amen, not to be seen of men, only to be seen of God. And then he says in verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Amen. Again, they make long prayers and they go over and over again, you know. I remember when I was a Catholic, we used to pray the rosary, you know, Our Father and Hail Mary over and over. That's what he's talking about. When you pray, and when we pray as Christians, it's from the heart. You know, it's talking to God. It's asking God, you know, dear God, thank you for blessing me today. Or thank you for my Christian brother and sisters in Christ. I'm from the heart, amen, in Jesus' name. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what need you have, what things you have need of before you ask, amen. So we see then, the counterfeit Christian goes around and doing all kinds of religious things. So they can demonstrate their own righteousness. They can show people just how great they are, amen. You know, I think about the Pope, amen. His open display of his pageantry wherever he goes, amen. And people fall down and kiss his ring and his feet and everything else, amen. This is what Jesus is talking about, amen. So we see then that the counterfeit Christian, they demonstrate their own righteousness. The other thing they do, number four, is they compare themselves to the worst. They compare themselves to the worst. Look at what this Pharisee said in verse 11 of Luke 18. Going back to Luke 18. They compare themselves to the worst. The Pharisee stood, okay, and what did he say in verse 11? He says, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. And then here's this other poor guy here with his hanging low because he's sorry for what he did. And then that Pharisee has the nerve, or even he points at him as even as this publican. Amen. See, a counterfeit Christian will judge themselves up against someone else, okay, instead of judging themselves in the light of God's word. Amen. Because if they did, If a person would judge themselves in the light of God's word, in the light of God, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, that person, when they did that, would realize that they come up short. Amen. They don't make it. Amen. In God's eyes. Amen. But no. They try to make themselves look good by comparing themselves to someone who is so-called a big sinner. You know, they'll say something, well, you know, when you're trying to witness to someone, you know, the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. They'll say, well, I never murdered anyone, or I never raped anyone, or I never cheated on my spouse, or I never stole anything. I'm no Adolf Hitler, amen. But you know what? According to God's word, there is one sin. One sin is enough to send someone to hell. Just one. Little white lie, amen, is enough to send someone to hell. Because the Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. That's what my Bible says. There's no little small print. There's no little exception to that rule. He says, for the wages of sin is death. There's no exception to the rules. One sin, two sins, 10 sins, 100 sins. No matter what it is, it's enough to send a person to hell. The Bible tells us that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You have God's word on it. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible doesn't make any distinctions as far as going to hell is concerned, amen, between sin. There's no distinction. One little, whatever it is, little minute little sin is enough to send someone to hell. Notice what the words of Jesus says about comparing ourselves to others, amen, in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus gives us some instructions about comparing ourselves to others, amen. As we see that the counterfeit Christian will compare himself to others, amen. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gives us some words here concerning this. He begins in Matthew chapter 7. He says, judge not that ye be not judged. Amen. For what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And what measure you meet, in other words, of the measure that you use to judge someone else, it shall be measured to you again. He said, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but not consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or what wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eyes. See? So before we go, Paul talks about in Corinthians, you know, we can judge. In other words, we can judge actions. We can't judge motives, amen, okay? But what it's saying is, before we go and judge somebody else, amen, before we go and do any of that, let's check ourselves out first, amen, okay? Let's check ourselves out first. But see, a counterfeit Christian is going to go to make himself good. He's going to compare himself to someone else and say, hey, look at Joe Doe. Look at what a wicked sinner they are. Look at this, as this Pharisee said when he went up to the temple to pray. Look at this disgusting publican. I'm not like him. See? But that's not what the Bible says to do, amen. The Bible says we got to look at ourselves, amen. We got to measure ourselves in the light of God's word and in God, amen. Because when you and I do that, and when we sincerely do that as Christians, we see that we come up short. You and I come up short each and every day. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why the Son of God had to come from the glory of heaven to come to this sin-sick world, amen, and die on that dreadful cross and shed that precious sinful blood so that we could be saved, amen, because we come up short every day. We see, not only does the counterfeit Christian trust in themselves, despise others, demonstrate their own righteousness, but they compare themselves to the worst, but also we see that they observe religious ritual without confession. They observe religious ritual without confession. Look at what this publican said in Luke 18, verse number 12. He says, what he's doing is, he's telling God why he's so great, why he's so wonderful, why he's so marvelous, amen. He's telling God what he does, amen. What, God, this is what I have done for you today, God, okay? You know, a lot of people do that, amen. This is what I've done for you today, God. He says, in verse 12, I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess, see? He's telling him how great he is. I do this and I do that. You know, when Jesus breathed his last breath at Calvary, amen, over there in the Gospel of John, you know, he's up there and he says, it is finished, amen. It is finished. See, the Christian religion is a done religion. It's a done deal. Jesus has done it all, amen. See, the world religion, like this Pharisee, is the religion of the do. I can do this, and I can do that, and I can get myself into heaven, amen. I'm a good person. It's a do. I'm sorry, Jesus Christ, it's an abomination to God, because Jesus Christ said, it is finished, it is done, it's a done deal. There's nothing left for you and I to do but to believe on him, amen. But again, the counterfeit Christian never focuses on his inner person, the condition of their heart, which is the soul. Because if they did, they would realize, amen, they are nothing but a wicked sinner needing a Savior, needing the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. Now, instead of looking at the heart, amen, the counterfeit Christian looks at their outward bodily activities, amen. You know, they'll say, I've been baptized as an infant. I'll give generously to the church. I belong to the Knights of Columbus. Or I teach Sunday school. Or I sing in the choir. Or I'm an usher. Or I'm a deacon. Or I pray every day. Or I go to church every week. Or I keep the Ten Commandments. Or I do the sacraments. But the Bible says that anything that you and I do in this sinful flesh, it says they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen. The only thing that pleases God is when you act, when you allow the Holy Spirit to act in you and I. You know, over there in Galatians chapter 5, I want you to see this. Galatians chapter 5. Over there in Galatians chapter 5, we have Paul gives us the works of the flesh, amen, and he gives us the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." Nine fruits. The number nine in the Bible is fruit-bearing. It's joy in the Bible, it stands for. So what I'm saying is, these fruit here, these nine fruit, love, joy, so forth and so on, you and I cannot produce in our human flesh. The only thing that can produce those nine fruits is the Spirit of God indwelling the believer, amen. When it says love, it's not talking about sex or Hollywood love, amen. It's talking about the love of God, and the love of God, and the greatest example is His Son coming to the sin-sick world and dying for you and I. That's the love that He's talking about. That's only the kind of love that the Spirit of God can produce, amen. But we see the counterfeit Christian, amen, will go around and saying, "I did this, and he did it in the flesh," amen. You know, say you witness to someone in the flesh. You witness to someone, you tell them about Christ. It says right here, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That didn't please God, all right? But when you get down and you pray, "God, allow the Holy Spirit to take control of me. I pray that you give me a witnessing opportunity." When the Holy Spirit of God is working in you and you're witnessing to someone, you'll know. I even know. I've witnessed in the flesh and it's failed. But when I witness in the Spirit, the Scriptures are there exactly what I have to say, because I've yielded myself over to the Spirit of God. And when you and I as Christians yield ourselves over to the Spirit of God, amen, then you know what I'm going to see in your life and what you're going to see in my life? You're going to see love in my life. You're going to see joy in my life. You're going to see peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Amen. If you're walking in the Spirit and not the flesh, that's what you're going to produce. Amen. But if you're not, if you're living in that sinful flesh as a counterfeit Christian is doing, amen, then you're going to see adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, and heresies. Amen. That's how you and I can check ourselves out. Amen. How we're living for God. But getting back to the Bible, back to the message here about the counterfeit Christians, we want to look what, again, we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 23. And look what Jesus told these counterfeit Christians in his day, the religious crowd. Let's go back to Matthew 23. Amen. And I just encourage you to read Matthew 23 and just on your own sometimes and just look at the words that Jesus really used against strong words, harsh words. And he needed to, because these were religious leaders. They should have known better. Amen. But Matthew chapter 23. Amen. Matthew chapter 23. Verse 23 and following, Matthew 23, said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay the tithe of mint." And okay, and we know a mint was like an herb, amen, and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. See, here they on the books, okay, on the appearance, amen, they were doing everything they gave a tithe, even the herbs, amen, everything. But he's saying, "And have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides which strain at the gnat." Okay? The little things. See, they were majoring in the little things. And the big things, amen, look at what he says, the things they should have been doing, the things that really mattered, swallow a camel. Amen. That's what he's saying. The big things, the things that really mattered, guys, you were blowing it. You didn't do it. You did these little things. It didn't matter. Amen. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make the clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, and that outside of them may be clean also." Counterfeit Christian. Great, squeaky clean on the outside, but inside dirty. You know, the Bible tells us, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen. I know it's hard. We can't see a person's heart. The only thing is we can see their actions, you know, that they're doing outside. Amen. But we got to be very careful when we look at people and their outward religious activities, because the outward religious activity without the proper heart attitude doesn't impress God. Okay? For this morning, don't get me wrong, you should be in church because you have a heart desire to be in church. Amen. Because you want to please God. You shouldn't be here in church this morning because you're trying to impress your neighbors or show people how religious you are by coming to church. If that's your motivation, please don't come to church. As small as we are, you shouldn't be here. Amen. You should be here this morning with the heart attitude is to be here because you love God. And because you want to learn more about God. And because you want to be with God's people. Amen. See, that's what churches are filled with them today. Counterfeit Christians. They're there to impress people, to show people how great they are. Just like this Pharisee that went up to the temple that day and rattled off to God how good he was. Amen. You know, because I tithe of everything and I fast twice in a week. Amen. Well, this guy, that Pharisee, had the wrong heart attitude. Amen. We got to have the right attitude. You know, when we hit that judgment seat of Christ, it says, amen. When we hit that judgment seat of Christ, Christian, he says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, he says, every man's work, listen to me, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Okay, it's not going to be measured about how great it is, how great appearing it was, but what sort it was, what you did, what was your heart attitude, what was your motive for doing it, amen. Was it to impress others, amen? Or did you do it because you love God? What does impress God, amen? We know that outward religious activity doesn't with the improper heart attitude. 1 Samuel chapter 5 verse 22. And we know over there in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we have the account of Saul. God gave Saul some explicit instructions to do. When he went out to the Amalekites, Saul was to kill all the people, kill all the livestock. Amen. What happened? He disobeyed God. The prophet Samuel came, and he heard the bleating. He heard the cattle. He heard the goats. And he's going, what is this? Didn't God tell you to kill everyone, even the livestock? Saul said, the people wanted, we just took of the best stuff and we're going to give it for a sacrifice. Amen. No, that's not what God told Saul. He told him to kill everything. Nothing. Didn't want anything. And then Samuel looked at Saul and he said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. Amen. To obey. Obedience. You want to impress God? You be obedient to God. He doesn't care how much money you put in. He doesn't care how you do this or how you do that. Are you obedient to Him? Amen. That's what impresses God. What impresses God is when we sin against Him, then we need to confess our sins. You know, in the Bible it says that David was a man after God's own heart, and you probably scratch your head. Here's a man that committed adultery, amen. Here's a man that had a woman's husband killed in battle, amen. How could that be true? Well, the reason he was a man after God's own heart, because he knew that God was big in confession, and when David sinned, he got down on his knees, and he confessed his sins to Almighty God. The opposite of what this Pharisee is doing in Luke 18, he's not confessing nothing. He's a counterfeit Christian. He's getting up there and telling God how good he is. God was big on confession. So David was big on confessing his sins. Turn with me to Psalm 51. Probably one of the greatest prayers of confession in the Bible. David's confession, amen, in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, we have David's confession here. He begins with, we want to notice what David said to God. He doesn't begin with God, I tithe twice in the week, or I tithe of everything that I have and I fast twice in the week. Look at what he says. Have mercy upon me. We're going to see when we go back to Luke 18, that's what that publican said. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, upon me. O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. Look at this. Not only ask for mercy, look at in verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgression. He's taken responsibility for his sin. Amen. I did it. No one else did it. You know, not like Adam in the garden. Remember Adam said, he said, God, it's this woman that you gave me. Amen. That's what he said. What did Eve said? Well, it's this serpent over here. Amen. No, David says, I acknowledge, he asked for mercy. He says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Then look at this. He says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. What is he showing? He's showing godly repentance. Godly repentance. There's two types of repentance. Amen. There's godly repentance. Amen. Godly repentance. And what's godly repentance? Godly repentance is basically this. You're sorry for how you've offended God, how you've been disobedient for God. Amen. Then there's a worldly repentance. Amen. Worldly repentance is this, simply. You're sorry that you got caught. Amen. That's worldly repentance. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, it says, 2 Corinthians 7:10, you can look at it later, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Amen. Someone that's worldly repentant, sorry they got caught. Amen. That's what happened to Judas Iscariot. Amen. He died and went to hell. Those that are sorry because they got caught die and go to hell. Amen. Those that are sorry for what they did against God and confess their sins die and go to heaven. Amen. But we look at David here. He says, against thee. He asked for mercy. He asked to be clean. He acknowledges his sin. And he says, it's against you that I sin. And look at in verse in Psalm 51. We're back in Psalm 51. Look at what he says in verses 16 and 17. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. And of course, doctrinally speaking, we're under the Old Testament law. Amen. And when people sinned, they were to bring a physical sacrifice, an animal, without blemish. Its blood was to be shed. But what he was saying here was that that's not really what was important to God. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. That's what God, again, remember. Man looketh on the outward appearance. In other words, he sees the sacrifices, the animals. But God looketh on the heart of man. If he doesn't see, along with that sacrifice, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, then it means absolutely nothing to him. See, the problem with the counterfeit Christian is he doesn't confess because he sees no need to. Why? Because he's basing his righteousness on his outward religious activities. So we've seen this morning, number one, a counterfeit Christian, they trust in themselves. A counterfeit Christian despises others. A counterfeit Christian demonstrates their own righteousness. A counterfeit Christian, they compare themselves to the worst. Number five, a counterfeit Christian, they observe religious ritual without confession. I praise God for one of the greatest promises in the Bible. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, John wrote, if we confess our sins, He, that's God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful promise, Christian. As we're pilgrims, sojourners on this earth until He comes for us, we live in a sinful body and we're going to sin. But we need to claim the promise. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ask for His mercy. Amen. Ask to be cleansed. Acknowledge your sin as David did. Acknowledge your transgression and it was against God. Amen. And He says, if you do that, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's stand for a word of prayer.